I do want to be kind with your time, and I am excited about preaching this message. I really want to reach out to anybody in this room that has suffered through maybe the heartache of a family problem. Disagreements in family, estrangement in families. Maybe your family is not with you today and you would love for them to be. And also those who have been hurt by family. But I want to encourage you about your church, mainly, but also in some other ways. I'm not even sure how to get into the message today. We'll get to Proverbs chapter 18 here in just a minute. Let me just say this. Last week, oh, by the way, and if you want something to take notes on, there are some handouts from now on out at the Welcome Center. I should have said that earlier, just where you can take some notes if you want to. Some have asked about that. But last week, I talked about being honest. I talk about being able to be honest in church. The Bible says that if we're going to worship God, true worshipers worship Him in spirit, but also in truth. And that means we're honest with God. And that's what I talked about. Two points I got to last week was being honest with God, being honest with ourselves, and being honest with God. Bye, Zoe. And really, that was the focus was God said, "Look, I don't care. Well, it's not that He doesn't care. He said, it doesn't matter how you come to me, but come and be honest with me." See, the Bible says about Jesus that anyone who comes to Him, He will in no way cast out. Jesus will meet you where you are. Kip, I'll never forget when you and I were, I think God united our hearts when I taught that, wasn't it? Kip and Jackie and Kyle had just been coming to my Sunday school class just a short time. You know, and I found somebody whose heart aligned perfectly with mine when I was teaching a series of messages called Jesus Will Meet You Where You Are. Because it's just one of the greatest truths in all the world that it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter what your present is. Jesus only cares about your future. He really does. He'll take care of all the rest of it. Jesus can take care of your present. He can take care of your past, and it's a done deal, and it's over, and it's gone. You don't live there anymore. You got a new address now on the streets of glory, and He said that's all in the past. And so the point though was that He said, but to come to Him, we've just got to be honest. And so we were talking about being honest with God and with ourselves, but I did not get to the point about being honest with one another. That we also need, in order to have true worship, we need to be able to be honest with one another. Our church, I believe, is a safe place for people to come and be honest. This is a church where people can come, and if you're not okay, you don't have to say you're okay. If you're not fine, look, when somebody says, "How are you?" and I understand we generally just, as a matter of courtesy, we say, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." But if you're not, you don't have to say that you are. You can walk in here and you can say, "You know what, I need some help." And we've had people do that even today. They can walk in here and say, "You know what, I've had a terrible week. I fell back into this, whatever, the addiction or sin, whatever it is," and come here and be among friends and family. And so my point last week that I didn't get to was being honest with each other. Now, here's where I want to begin, though, today. There's a reason why so many times we don't do that, and that's because it's risky. We tend to be risk avoiders. And opening ourselves up is very, very risky. But let me just say this, by way of introduction. I'll get to the text here in a moment. But any relationship that's worth having is worth that risk. It comes with some risk. Look, if there's no risk in your relationship, then you don't have a very deep relationship. And what do I mean by that? I'm talking to husbands and wives, for example. Do you know the depth of your relationship is going to be directly related to the depth that you can be vulnerable with each other? If you can't be vulnerable, and vulnerable means capable of being hurt, the depth of your relationship is directly related to the depth that you are willing to be vulnerable to that person. I'm talking to parents and children, and to church member, and so on. And God has a powerful message for us, though, that there's some relationships the Bible talks about that are safe relationships, and I'll get to that here in just a minute. But let me just say this whole thing of risk and being vulnerable. That's also the one of the reasons that probably most people in this room have been hurt by a family member. And the reason for that is when we're born into a family, we're born into a scenario where we have to be honest with each other. Your family knows who you are. My family knows who I am. And with that then comes some hurt sometimes. But God has a message for those that have been hurt in that way. I want you to notice Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse 24. The Bible's talking about two kinds of relationships here. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to give you my title. I'm going to pray. The Bible says this, a man that hath friends, or it could be said, a man that wants to have friends, must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you notice that? Not sticketh as close as a brother, sticketh closer than a brother. I would like this morning to encourage and instruct all of us this morning on this topic, and this is my title, the value of the family you choose. The family you choose. Let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, I pray that you'd help me as I speak and help all of us as we listen. Lord, help us to see this beautiful truth that you've given to us in Scripture, and may every soul here be encouraged today. And Lord, may we be motivated to not just seek out friendships, but also to seek out family. And Lord, we're thankful for the families that you had us born into. But God, we're also thankful for the families you allow us to choose to have. Now help us to understand today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. This verse, our text verse, going back to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, notice God gives us a perspective on two of the most wonderful relationships that we will have on this earth. Now, we have lots of relationships. We have relationships at work, for example, and we have casual relationships and so on. But the Bible gives us a perspective on the two that perhaps we think of most and that maybe the most important to us. We have both biological family here, or family we're born into, and then we also have we have friendship. Those are the two concepts here. Would you notice the friendship part first? The first part of this verse says this, a man that wants to have friends must show himself friendly. Now, what exactly does that mean? It actually means a lot more than most of us think when we just read it on the surface. The Hebrew culture was very much into function, more so than just words and saying things. So when this verse was penned by Solomon back in thousands of years ago, what it really was saying was, we take it very, very literally, a man that wants to have friends must show himself, must make himself vulnerable. Back in, you know, in other words, if I want to be friends with Jim, the Bible says if you want to have friends, you've got to show yourself. Now, you understand, this is where our vital organs are located, our heart and our lungs and so on. And so if somebody was going to hurt me, this is where they would try to hurt me. If Jim wanted to stab me, which he does sometimes, and if he really put that cane down, buddy, just leave it right where it is. Look, this is where he's going to go, yes? And so if I want to have Jim as my friend, I have to show myself. I have to make myself open and vulnerable to Jim, willing to risk his hurting me if I really want to be his friend. Now, there's a lot of people walking around the world not willing to do this, and they have no friends. They don't have people that they're close to. They don't have people they can trust because there's never been that time, maybe where they, or maybe one time they did. And got stabbed. And got hurt. And now, never again will I do that. Never again will I make myself vulnerable. Some young ladies will never again want to make themselves vulnerable to some young man because he was abusive to her and did something unspeakable. Some young men will never again want to make himself vulnerable to some lady because he was humiliated and brokenhearted. And sometimes people get married and there's infidelity. Maybe one spouse leaves the other spouse and that person says, I will never again take that risk. I'll never again let anybody near my heart. What a sad way to live. And we get that a lot of times in life. This is what the Bible talks about when it's talking about friendship. Now please watch as I bring family into this. You see, when I talk about that kind of a relationship, that being vulnerable, that's where we automatically or naturally are with family. You see, when you're born into a home, you're born into a family, you naturally then are vulnerable to them. And you're supposed to be safe there, yes? You see, it's expected in family. You know, blood is thicker than water, right? That's what we say. Blood is thicker than water. We're supposed to be able to know that our biological families always will be there for us. But sadly, that's not the case, is it? Sadly, in fact, more often, I think, in life, many times that does not happen. Now, please understand, I'm not being down on family today. If you have your family with you today, you are blessed beyond measure. I'll come to that here in just a little bit. But see, family should naturally be that way. Oftentimes it's not. May I share with you, that is nothing new. If you have been hurt within your family, or if you have problems within your family, you have estrangement within your family, if you're not close to your family, maybe your family, parts of your family want nothing to do with you, may I say to you, there have always been, from the beginning of time, or from the beginning of modern man at least, problems within families. Can I take you back to the very first couple that we have in modern history? Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. This is what happened in chapter number 4, the beginning of our Bibles. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Do you see that from the very beginning of modern man's history, from the very beginning of our Bible, we find problems within families? It's nothing new. You're not a lone ranger if you've got an issue with one of your siblings. You're not all by yourself in this world if you're a parent separated from your child, if you're a grandparent separated from your grandchildren, if you have friendships that have been broken apart, and so on. We could go on within families. Noah was betrayed by his son Ham. If we just work our way through the Old Testament, Noah was betrayed by his own son Ham in a sexual perversion way, and we won't get into that today, but that's what happened there. We find that Jacob was the younger brother Isaac, and as Jacob and Esau were brothers, they were twins, but Esau was the older one, and Jacob conspired with his mother Rebekah to deceive Isaac, his father, into stealing Esau's birthright, and that's exactly what he did. You talk about a dysfunctional family, we have it right there as some of the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. We find a little bit further that Joseph was the 11th son of 12 of Jacob, and he was hated by his brothers. His brothers took him, and they most of them wanted to kill him, but his oldest brother Reuben decided not to do that, and so they ended up selling him to an Egyptian slave trader, and he spent the rest of his life in Egypt. We find that David's brothers abandoned him when he showed up to fight Goliath, and they mocked him and made fun of him, and David went out and fought Goliath, But we find that later on in his life that his own son, Absalom, then stole the hearts of the people and took the throne away from him. And David had to run for his life from his very own son, Absalom. And then we also can read later on, young boy king named Joash, 6 years old, had a grandmother named Athaliah who wanted to kill him so that she could be queen. Now look, that's my point is, and we could talk all day about examples like that, but my point is, your family is not the only family with problems. You're not the only person with a broken heart over your biological family. Now, if it's a blessed thing, let me just, before I, again, I fear that there are those that might take this as being an anti-family message. It's not at all. In fact, it's very pro-family, but you're going to have to stay with me. But if you are a part of a family that does not have discontentment, that does not have adult age siblings who won't speak to each other, or children who won't speak to parents, or grandparents who don't get along. If you're a part of a family that doesn't have any of that, you are blessed and in the gross minority. Please know how very, very, very blessed you are. Because it's not very common these days. I've been in the ministry for 20 years. I'm telling you from my experience, you will not find very many families that do not have a lot of discord within the family. And those are things that we ought to continually to work on. It's my heart's desire that every family be united. But if yours is not, then we go back to our text and we find a wonderful message from God here. Back to Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24. Notice, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but please watch, there is also a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, what's God saying? God's saying there is a family you're born into, but there's also a family you can choose, and sometimes that family you choose will be closer to you than that family you were born into. That's what that's talking about. And so we look at this and we say, okay, in other words, what is that old expression? You can choose your friends, and let's see, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend. No, that's not it. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. That's what it was, right? You can't pick your family. God picked your family. But you get to pick your friends. And God said, I've set it up that way because sometimes you may not have that family be that naturally safe place that you're expecting, but you can choose to have a family that is. And so I don't know. I mean, is God talking about replacing my family? God is not talking about replacing your family. But God is saying that sometimes when our biological family is not what we need it to be at that moment, God said, I have plenty of other people around you that can be your family and serve as your family and be closer to you perhaps even than some of them are. Can I remind you of the words of Christ? Notice in Luke chapter number 8, verse 19. Then came to him his mother, this is talking about Jesus, came to him his mother and his brethren. That's talking about his biological half-brothers and sisters, because we understand that Jesus was the son of Mary, but God was his father, yes? It was God's blood that flowed through Jesus' veins. However, he was taken care of by Joseph as if he had been his biological son, yes? And you know, we'll come to some of that, but he said he came to his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press. That means there were so many people. Next, verse 20. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand outside, and they want to see you. He said, your mom and your brothers and sisters, they're outside, and they need to see you. Watch what Jesus said. He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now, was Jesus disowning his biological family, yes or no? Of course not. But what he was saying, they're not my only family. They're not the only family I have. He said, you're my family too. He also said later on, he said, you're my friends if you obey my commandments. Well, that's a thought that will come back to us here in just a little bit. But Jesus said, look, I love my mother, I love my brothers and sisters, but I love you also just as much, and you are just as much of my part of my family as they are. He went on in John chapter number 19, notice, while hanging on the cross, Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, and saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Verse 27, then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Do you see how Jesus made sure that he cared? He wanted his biological mother to have family even though he was gone. And so the point is, sometimes we have family that we choose. Before they can become family, though, and here where I get into a couple of points of my message, but before they can become family to us, they first have to become friends. See, the Bible says that we can choose our friends, and we'll see in time those we can then choose to make them our family. So how do you make friends? Let me talk with you. I'm going to give you 2 points this morning about how to choose somebody as a friend. Number one, we choose somebody as a friend when we choose to love at all times. Choose to love at all times. What does that mean? Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. I don't think God can make it much clearer than this. A friend loveth at good times. A friend loveth most of the time. A friend loveth when I feel like it. A friend loveth unless they betray me, unless they hurt me. A friend loveth, you know, unless you're no longer useful to me. No, a friend loveth at all times. But would you notice again, he's making a contrast between friendship and kinship. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother, watch this, is born for adversity. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that we are supposed to have the backs of our blood, brethren, aren't we? I mean, we're supposed to be there in hard times. But notice the connotation here. A friend loves all the time, no matter what. But he said, now a brother, though, has been born specifically for when times are hard. In other words, a brother was born to be there almost by duty. See, in hard times, you're supposed to be able to count on your brother, your biological brother. He said they were born for that reason. You're obligated as a family member to do that. You're obligated to be there for your blood. But a friend loves at all times, not by obligation or by duty, but by choice. Do you realize when you choose to be somebody's friend, that's actually a bigger deal than when you were born into a family? Because if you're born into a family, you're obligated by principle and by duty to be there for that person. But when you do it as a friend, you're doing it by choice. Amen. And when you have a friend, you know you have that friend not because it's their duty, but because they chose to be your friend. It's a lot like adoption. Some of you were adopted. You know, there's a special thing about adoption. That is a relationship not born in blood, but born by choice. And that's not to say that adopted children are better or that relationship is better than a biological, but there is a difference in how it came about. And God said, it's possible for you to have a friend that sticks even closer than a brother. So friends love in all circumstances. God's intention was that families stick together, but he said, you know, sometimes that's not going to happen, so I'm going to create something called friendship that you can make with people by choice. Well, can I show you what's the best example of the closest relationship that is a relationship by choice? Take a look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Wait, time out. Why would a man leave his father and mother? They're his blood. They're his kin. Why would he do that? To cleave unto his wife, his family by choice. You see, that marriage itself is a great example of something that is done by choice, not by duty. You see, marriage is a great example of that. Let me just say this, and I'm trying to decide. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I've actually got another message I'm going to preach along these lines. But may I just say, if you're having trouble in your marriage, if there's a marriage that's in trouble today, maybe it's struggling. Maybe there's some issue, and you think it's not reconciled. Is it possible that perhaps your marriage didn't start off with you two as friends like it should have? You know, maybe the problem goes all the way back. Maybe your relationship started in the wrong place. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. So when hard times come, two people who started off as friends can many times weather storms much better than two people who started off as lovers, to put it bluntly. Amen? So a relationship that is born out of choice sometimes can be stronger and closer than one born out of blood. Let me say secondly then, so when we talk, oh, by the way, and if you have marriage problems today, it is not too late to go back and start over. Right. You can go back and become friends. You say, well, I just don't think I can live with this person. Fine. I'm going to give it away. I was going to tell you, either next Sunday or the Sunday after that, if you don't like the spouse you have, you're going to get my permission to end it and start over. Not the way you think. Amen, preacher, it's about time you said that. Not very many men gutsy enough to say that, just a few. Where was I? Let me give you a second point. My mind's in so many places right now. Did I tell you I didn't get any sleep Friday night? Yes, okay. Number two, how else do you become friends? Number two, not only do you choose to love at all times, but you choose to love at the soul level. Would you notice, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, many have probably heard of David. We are familiar with David and all of his exploits, killing Goliath and so on, becoming the king of Israel. The first king of Israel, however, was a man named Saul. Saul was the first man chosen by God, and theoretically, Saul's children should have, and their children should have become the line of the kings in the nation of Israel. Saul's son, who should have become king, one day was named Jonathan. You will not find a better picture anywhere in the world, past, present, or future, of friendship than what you'll find between David and Jonathan. Would you notice, please, that Jonathan, okay, David, let me set the stage here. David has gone out and killed Goliath. And when David came off the battlefield, do you know who was there to greet him? It was not his brothers. It was not his father and mother. It was Jonathan. When it came to pass, when he had made it into speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, I'm talking about a soul love between two people. So please understand the context here. Jonathan had every reason to hate David because his father, Saul, hated David. It didn't happen here, but in just a very few chapters, we find that David had gone out and started winning battles. The people started talking about how great David was. They started making comparisons between David and Saul. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000, and Saul became very, very jealous and very, very angry. Saul came to hate David, and Saul started hunting David's life. And he went to Jonathan, and he was upset with his own son for befriending David, because he said, look, you are befriending him to your own hurt. You're supposed to be the king, but the way it's going right now, he's going to become the king. And you know what David, or you know what Jonathan said? I don't care. David said, a kingdom's not important to me, but boy, my friendship with David sure is. And Jonathan was David's dear, dear friend all the rest of his short life after that, Jonathan's short life after that. But the Bible says his soul was knit. How far did he go with that? Look at verse 3. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Don't you think God's making a point here? He keeps repeating the same expression, loved him as his own soul. Verse 4, then Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, his garments. These are his kingly, his priest robe. Or not priest, his princely robe. Even to his sword and to his bow. He gave him his armor. He said, David, you take these things. Later on, he said, David, it would make my heart so glad if you were the king and I could just be your general. Jonathan cared so much more about David, not because of what David could do for him, but because he loved him at the soul level. You know, oftentimes, as David was on the run for his life from Saul, that's where he and Jonathan became the closest. May I say, oftentimes, you say, well, how do friendships really become like family? I'll tell you how. Oftentimes, it's in adversity. It's in the dark times. Because a friend loves at all times. When people get into their lowest point, if they have a friend who's there with them, they can become very, very close to that person. Years ago, my wife and I and my family met Mauricio and Marion Segovia. And we thought we just treated them like everybody else when they first walked into the church that we were at. They, according to Mauricio, we were very friendly to them, maybe more so perhaps than others, I don't know. But they began to sit right behind us in church. And so we began a friendship and we began to talk. And after a while, we got pretty close to them. And it's with people like Mauricio and Marion, it's hard not to love them. I've tried, but I can't. I just can't seem to get it done. But do you know when we became family? They had a little girl named Maya, who when she was 8 years old, totally out of the blue and for no reason, had her to the doctor, and they sent them home, said she'll be fine. But their little girl died in the night. And I was the one they called. And I'll never forget Marion's voice. I couldn't understand much of what she was saying. I just knew I had to get to the hospital. And so I raced to Grady Hospital, and I met them in the emergency room and learned that Maya had died. And we stayed with them for 3 days. And in that time, God knit our hearts together. Marion has had some problems within her family. And there was a time where she came and she said, would you be my daddy? Now you say, you want to know why we're that close? Because of those times of adversity. Now let me just say, I want to have that kind of soul relationship with everybody at New Hope. Please know that. But that's why there's something very, very special between us. That's why we were friends first and then became family. You know what's really amazing, though? About 8 months ago, Jocelyn left California and left her family there, her biological family, and came to Ohio and didn't know anybody. She got on a plane in faith that this is where God wanted her. God led her in that door right there. She found us, I think, online, and she came into church not knowing anybody, not knowing who she would meet, and she ended up sitting next to Marion Segovia. And they became friends. And she and Mauricio and Marion became very, very close. And they shared a lot of things together. And it wasn't long, after a few months, they sort of adopted her as their daughter. Not trying to take the place of her mother and father. Please understand, they're not trying to take the place of her parents or her mother or her grandparents out in California. But what they were to her was they were family right here. Now she calls me grandpa too. And I got to watch her sing today. Amen. We're not blood. We're better than blood. Amen. And that's the kind of relationship I want to have with so many. It's not taking anything away from family. Many of you, when Debbie Barnhart walks in this room, now look, my mother is right back here. You know my mother, and you know I love my mother, and she is the greatest mother that anybody could have ever had. Except for when she made me go out and cut a switch and she'd whip me with that. I'll never forgive that. No, just kidding. She did. She made me cut one. And if it didn't have enough little knots on it, she'd go cut one. So it's like a no win for me. I'm out in the yard, it's like, what am I gonna do? You know, I gotta find a branch that's good enough, but not too good. I love my mother. I love my mother. But I also love my mother, Debbie. And I call her mom when she walks in, and I give her a kiss when she walks in. Because a few years ago, she took the risk, and she said to me, "You're like a son to me." And so that takes nothing away from the love I have for my mother. But now we're just as much family as if I was born to her. When my father died 10 years ago, I asked Brother Howard if he'd be my father. He said, "No." I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He said, "Get out, kid." Brother and Mrs. Howard are like parents to me. He's like a father to me. And Harold's like a grandfather to me. He's like... You got spared that one, didn't you, John? I call Connie sis, and I call them mom and dad when we're talking about things. Takes nothing away from my biological mother. These are the family I've chosen. And I could go on and on about so many of you. You know why I want to have that kind of a relationship with everybody at New Hope? And I am willing to show myself. I'm willing to make myself, have I been hurt? Oh, in huge ways by people that I opened up to. But that's okay. I'm not going to stop. Because it's worth it to have friends who then become family. It's worth it. I have so many, many of you know, okay, Kaylin is my biological daughter. And she is loyal to me, and I love her, and she will always be the number two person in my life. She's number one. Kaylin, you'll always be number two in my eyes. Some of you will get that later. I love her dearly, and she loves me, and I know she'll always love me. But I have another daughter who does not speak to me. She's my biological daughter, and I love her as I always did. But I also have at least a half a dozen or maybe more young ladies around here who look at me as a father. And that is what I need. And sometimes they're closer to me than a biological daughter even could be, although that's not in the case in Kaylin's case. But my point to you is, maybe you have been abandoned by a family member. May I say to you, that's not your only family. That's not your only family. If you've been hurt by a church family, may I say to you, that's not your only family. Sometimes the family you choose is better to you than the family you're born into. And I can tell you this, here at New Hope, you look around, you're surrounded by people who want to be your family. Amen. They want to be your family. Thank you, John. They want to be your brothers. They want to be your sisters. They want to be your parents. Some of you grandparents, maybe you don't get to see your grandchildren very often. May I say to you, there's a lot of young hurting people here. There's some young couples here who could use some grandparents to babysit their kids. They could use some people in their lives who would love them. There's some college students who could use somebody to be their family away from home. There are some homeless folks here who I'm glad they feel like this is their home. Amen. We're going to have a family meal here in just a little bit for anybody who's hungry. The whole point of my message today is that nobody has to be alone. Because you may not have the biological family you were born into, but you have a long, long, long line of people waiting to be your chosen family. And if you're here as our guest today, may I say to you, you would honor us by choosing to be a part of our family. Now, maybe you have a family that's all together today. Maybe your family has got it all together and you're happy and your relationships are all good. Can I ask you, and I'm done, please hear this. Can I ask you, is there room in your family for somebody else? Is there room in your heart for somebody else? Because there are some people here and some people out there walking around. They don't have that. Some of them don't have anybody. Is there room in your family for them? If you're here today at New Hope, it is my hope and my prayer that you look at this place as where your family gathers every Sunday morning. This is a weekly family reunion we have here at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. And then there's some of us get together on Wednesday night as well. But it should always be about family. And lastly, may I say, you do have one friend. I've been talking about friendships, becoming family. There is one friend that sticketh closer than any other. And we sang about him earlier. What a friend we have in Jesus. He loves at all times, and we all should do the same for one another. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for family. Thank you for our